The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 20th chapter. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. The second and the third married her, and so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive." The Gospel of the Lord.
Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are nearing the end of the church year. The long green season after Pentecost. Soon, the colors will shift to blue, and the readings will turn our eyes toward Advent and the promise of Christ coming again. This is the season when Scripture invites us to think about endings and beginnings, about death and about life, and about the God who holds all of it together in love. So, it makes sense that today's gospel begins with a question about the resurrection, though it's not exactly an honest one. Luke tells us that some Sadducees came to Jesus. They were part of the religious establishment in Jerusalem. They were educated, powerful, and skeptical of new ideas. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. For them, God's promises ended at the grave. So they come to Jesus with a riddle. A riddle meant to make the whole idea of the resurrection look completely and totally absurd. They say, "Teacher, Moses wrote that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man should marry the widow to raise up children for his brother. Now suppose there were seven brothers, each married the same woman, one after another, and each died. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be?" It's a contrived, almost mocking question. But if you notice, Jesus doesn't mock them back. He listens. He receives their question seriously enough to respond, not on their terms, but on God's. So Jesus replies, "The children of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God." And then in that moment, Jesus goes on to say something that shifts everything. He says, "God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to God, all of them are alive." The Sadducees are asking questions about death. Jesus answers with a proclamation of life. The Sadducees want to debate what happens after we die. Jesus wants to reveal who God is right now. To make his point, Jesus brings them back to Scripture, the Torah, the five books of Moses, the Scripture that they already know, and the story of Moses at the burning bush. In that moment, God speaks to Moses and says, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He, God, said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. In that moment, Jesus reminds them that when Moses met God, those patriarchs that I just listed had been dead for centuries. Yet if you notice, God still names them in the present tense. In other words, God was, is, and continues to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus then concludes, "For to God, all of them are alive." The covenant love that bound God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has not ended. It is still living. That's who God is. God is not a relic of the past, not confined to what has been, but a living presence, still at work, still redeeming, and still surprising us with life. The whole exchange of today's reading begins with a question. And that's something worth noticing. The Sadducees ask their question for the wrong reasons, but Jesus still honors it with a real answer. He doesn't ignore them. He doesn't shut them down. He listens and responds with grace and depth. Because God can indeed handle our questions. In fact, God welcomes them. Asking questions is not a sign of weak faith. It's a sign of an active, living faith. Dead faith says this: "We already know everything." But living faith says, "We trust God enough to keep asking." Author David Brooks, who was here last spring for the Faith and Life lecture series, in his book, How to Know a Person, wrote this: "Each person is a mystery. And when you are surrounded by mysteries, as the saying goes, it's best to live life in the form of a question." That's what Jesus invites us into, a life lived in the form of a question, a faith that continues to stay curious and open and alive in God's presence. Every person that we meet is a mystery. Every situation holds something we don't yet know and understand. Every moment offers the possibility that God might speak in a new way. To live life in the form of a question is to live awake, to approach God, one another, and the world with wonder instead of certainty. Jesus himself modeled this kind of faith throughout his ministry. He was constantly asking questions. "But who do you say that I am? What do you want me to do for you? Why are you afraid, you of little faith? Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye?" And the list goes on and on. Jesus used questions not to test people, but to draw them deeper into relationship. He understood that transformation doesn't happen when we recite the right answer. It happens when we open our hearts to the living God who meets us in our asking, who meets us in our holy curiosity. And as important as asking is, listening is just as vital. The Sadducees came to Jesus with their minds already made up. They were asking, but they weren't listening. Jesus calls them and us to a different kind of listening, one that pays attention for God's voice in the present tense. When we listen, we begin to hear it. God alive in courage of the grieving. God alive in acts of mercy and forgiveness. God alive in communities that work for peace and justice. God alive in the waters of baptism and in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. In all of these places, we meet the one who is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And the church, we are called to be people of holy curiosity, a community that asks and listens. When a child wonders, why do we pray? When a teenager says, I'm not sure I believe anymore. When someone grieving whispers, where is God in all of this? The faithful response is not to silence the question, but to make space for it. Because every question asked in faith is a doorway to a deeper, more profound relationship with one another and with God. The church itself is not meant to be an institution of answers. It's meant to be a living body, alive with mystery and grace. The Sadducees came to Jesus trapped in the logic of death. Jesus meets them and us with the logic of life. Every time we forgive instead of resent, every time we choose compassion over fear, every time we dare to hope in the face of loss, we proclaim that God's life is stronger than death. The Spirit that filled the disciples at Pentecost still moves among us today, breathing new life into old bones, opening hearts and minds to the God who is still speaking today. So as this church year nears its end and the readings turn themselves towards resurrection and promise, I want you to remember this. God is not finished yet. God is still the God of the living. And to God, all of them, all of us are alive. So let us keep asking, let us keep listening, and let us live, as David Brooks says, in the form of a question, trusting that every question we bring leads us back to the living God who holds all things together in love. Let it be so. Amen.